I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. Still to come on the program, looking forward to Marty Schulper of the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. He is with us at the top of the hour. Then we'll talk to Yellowhammer News Editor-in-Chief Sean Ross. So stick around. Ought to be a great way for you to, if you're getting on the road or whatever you're doing today, hopefully you're doing something fun. Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. There's a lot going on right now. A very busy time up his way in Shelby County, but seems to be steady in the ship, let's say. State Representative Arnold Mooney joined us on the line. How are you this morning, Representative?
I'm doing just great and just excited about celebrating Thanksgiving and giving thanks to the good Lord for our great nation, for the wonderful Constitution we have that we are able to live by and have our freedoms and privileges under, and just the whole process of realizing that our founders and the pilgrims who came and so forth. I mean, what wonderful, wonderful days of history we had before us to give us Thanksgiving. And then, of course, you know, it was made a national time of Thanksgiving and a holiday, and it's wonderful, and it's such a great time of the year to look at what we have to be thankful for. And we do have so much, regardless of what's happening around us, regardless of the illnesses that we have with the China virus and so forth. We're in a great place in this nation and great opportunity. Where else in the world could the leadership come to get the vaccines as fast as we've gotten them and so forth? American ingenuity and the private and public sector joining together. Wonderful, wonderful things to be thankful for, as well as our families, the opportunities God gives us to serve and to help other people.
Yeah, well, speaking of things COVID-related, it's getting not to transition too much into the policy talk here, but let's talk tax policy. It's the end of the year. It's what we're all thinking about. A lot of us are thinking about it, I suppose. And we still have this question up in the air. Will people that benefited from COVID-19 relief, particularly with the payroll protection program and some of the unemployment benefits, will they face a tax liability from the state of Alabama? You're one of the various efforts out there trying to get that patched up and taken care of.
Well, that's very true. I mean, back during the regular session this last year, I became aware of the fact that the work that was done with the CARES Act was done to amend the Social Security Act. Therefore, it did not allow the code in Alabama, which mirrors the federal tax code, to allow people to have this income that they receive from the checks they got, the advance refunds or whatever you want to call them under the federal coronavirus aid relief and economic security, the CARES Act. You know, they're taxable in our state. It's just the law. But that's, like I said a few minutes ago, you guys got to try to change the law, and that's what we're trying to do. I originally introduced a bill that was pre-filed, and that bill certainly would do some things, but realizing how long this was going to go on, we reworked that bill, which was just basically a two-page bill, into what now is really just a little over four-page bill, the reason being that we're under the impression that there could be some other things that come along, so we didn't want to go back and try to revisit it a second time, but if we can visit it at this point, we would establish in our tax code in Alabama that these funds that are received are not taxable as they were meant to be federally, and or as they are federally, and we would want them to be in our state. But likewise, the payroll protection plan loans that become grants that are tax-free, under existing law, any of these amounts are taxable in our state. So we don't want them recognized as income because people are still suffering through this process. And this bill would provide for an exclusion from Alabama income tax in relation to the tax credits or advance refunds or whatever they would be called. And any subsequent federal act providing similar types of things in relation in response to the coronavirus pandemic. And it would provide for an exclusion from Alabama income tax taxation and financial institution excise tax for small business loans being forgiven. And it would do that again if that was done in the future. So we tried to tidy it up to make it a little bit more effective. And hopefully this will be a part of any call that might occur for a special session. I hope and pray that it will happen so that we can say to the people of the state of Alabama, we understand the plight you've been in, and it's our desire, a bipartisan desire, I believe, to relieve people of this concern. Most people, I don't think, realize that it's facing them. And come January, they'll get their tax forms, and they'll go to file with whoever does their taxes, or maybe they do them themselves, and then, bam, they find out it's taxable. And that's unfortunate. We don't want that to happen.
Well, look, the clock's ticking here, right? I mean... People, just a timeline when folks do their taxes and look, all that you said is very valid, but isn't a big part of this making sure that there's that certainty, that element of certainty when it comes to figuring that out, and that makes this, you know, and I know we beat this drum all the time, but to talk about a special session or at least doing something early in the session in 2021, shouldn't this be at the front of the line?
Well, I hope and pray that it is, because this is for the working people of Alabama, not just businesses, but obviously it's for businesses too. And everybody is involved, regardless of your economic situation. Everybody's affected by this. So it's very important that we deal with it. That's the reason I brought it as soon as I realized the situation back during the regular session. I believe it was April. No, it wasn't. Well, we were out for a good bit and then came back, but right in the regular session, right before we left to go out or right after we came back, I introduced it. We just never got to it. We were only doing budgets, and hopefully this will be clear. We can go back and do it retroactively, but that creates a tremendous amount of problems for CPAs who are doing, or tax preparers who are doing taxes. It likewise creates problems for the Alabama Department of Revenue, all those things. And quite frankly, primarily, it creates problems for the people of our state. And we need to be saying to the people of our state, you're our tantamount and foremost consideration in how you should be treated and how you should be dealt with. And the federal process meant for this to be tax-free, and we need to make it tax-free in our state. And we'll do that. That's going to happen.
Representative, let's move on to some other things going on in our in the realm of state government. Looking at a text you sent me here, election law is very interesting right now with what's going on around the country. And
oh, there's no doubt about that. And let me weigh in and say, I joined Congressman Gary Palmer, who's my congressman up here. We haven't talked about this, but I can tell you he is right. State's attorney generals should take legal action against other states that use executive or judicial authority to change the presidential election rules in their state. That's a violation of the United States Constitution. The Constitution clearly says that that is the case. And the fact it's established in Article 2, Section 1.2 of the United States Constitution that state legislators have the sole authority to select their representatives to the Electoral College, providing a critical safeguard that we need to have against election fraud and election manipulation. You know, I think people are realizing it because Pennsylvania is holding hearings today, Arizona Monday, Michigan Tuesday, in an effort to provide confidence that all the legal votes have been counted and the illegal votes have not been counted in the November 3rd election. Honestly, I mean, you know, when you look at it, Congressman Palmer is dead on in relation to what he is saying about it. You know, realistically, the states that I mentioned, and New York is in that group, but that's pretty much a foregone conclusion there because of the size of the vote. Governor Cuomo did some things there that he did by edict, which violated the fact that the state legislature should have done it. You know, what you have are unconstitutional actions in Pennsylvania because the governor and the Supreme Court usurped the authority of the legislature. You know, and as I said, constitutionally, the state legislatures are where the authority rests about election rules. But Pennsylvania Supreme Court, they endorsed the governor's executive order and making changes to the election law that fundamentally clearly impacted the election there. So, you know, whether it's a win for one party or the other party is not the question. It's what is right. What is the rule of law? What are we governed by? And that should be dealt with and looked at because it changed how votes were going to be counted. The whole process of making sure that absentee ballots are correct by checking signatures and matching them to the names on the ballot, that type thing. You know, the same type things happened in Michigan. You had some of those issues in Arizona, some even in Nevada. But, you know, quite honestly, in New York, it's an issue of a congressional race because there's a very close congressional race there that could have been and could possibly still be affected by Governor Cuomo's executive order. That clearly, I believe, is in violation of it. So I join Congressman Palmer in saying that attorneys general around the country, especially for those of us in the South who believe in we dare defend our rights, and that's our state's motto. So, I mean, we need to be ready to go. I mean, you know, quite frankly, in a state's rights context, we can sue another state. The attorney generals ought to get together and do a class action process to get this thing before the Supreme Court and have it decided. Clearly, if several states were to get together and sue another state or states in relation to this issue, then, you know, you're arguing a class action under the 14th Amendment. And, you know, these actions, we would say, would violate the Equal Protection Clause. And it also violates the Guarantee Clause of the Constitution. You know, it's time to guarantee our state and other states our Republican form of government. Not big Republican like the party, but our Republican like the Republic in the sense of the Federal Republic. That's what it's about. It's free and fair elections. So that way we actually have a republic. And this would expedite it to the Supreme Court because when one state sues another state, it doesn't go through the lower courts and all that type thing. It goes straight to the Supreme Court. You don't have the long, drawn-out waits. And let those folks there decide it. You know, and I'd also point out clearly, constitutionally, it's the explicit role of the Department of Justice to make sure that states are conducting elections with integrity in compliance with state law and or their state constitution and the United States Constitution. So it's a big issue. It's a huge issue.
Yeah, you know, the states like Alabama stand to lose when other states play. I mean, all this is interconnected because it's a federal election. So.
It is correct. That is correct. It is a federal election and ultimately results in what's going to happen in the Electoral College, which is where the decision is made about who our president will be. And we've got to pay attention to it. I wouldn't profess to say that I'm the most knowledgeable person about this subject, but I have a little bit of understanding about it, I believe. And clearly, I'm not going to try to tell an attorney general what they should do because they know what to do. But if I can read it and understand it, I believe others can read it and understand it. And I know Congressman Palmer is on top of it, and he's right. This is a time where you say, my congressman did it right. Thank God for what he said and he's done trying to get this action taken care of. And I pray that it'll be dealt with. I mean, whoever's the winner is the winner. That's fine. We're a republic. We're a Republican democracy. We're going to accept that. But let's make sure that legal votes are counted and the legal votes aren't counted.
Joined by State Representative Arl Mooney here for just a few more moments. Representative, one thing I want to get you to weigh in on is kind of out of left field, but it seems to be in the news all of a sudden, particularly with the statement given by Attorney General Steve Marshall earlier this week. The Alabama Monuments Preservation Act, you know, there seems to be some disagreements about the way it shouldn't be enforced, but is it something the legislature needs to take a second look at here in the near future?
It very well could be looked at by the legislature in the near future. There's been a lot of conversation about it, but I would have to say again, it is the job of the Attorney General of our state to enforce the law of our state. It is the responsibility of the Attorney General. In the same sense, for local government officials, it is their job and their responsibility to not break the law of our state. And I can't complain when clearly the Attorney General is not making a statement about the validity or the thoughts about what we should do to change it. I mean, change it through the legislature. That's the correct way to do it. But do not violate the law of our state and say to our people, we can do whatever we want to do. I mean, that's not correct. It's either the rule of law nationally in relation to elections, as we've previously discussed. It's the rule of law locally in relation to whatever bills have been passed by the legislature, and let's come back. And if consensus can be reached where changes could be made, then that's something that would be done by the legislature, who have been elected by the people of our state to represent them and to do things of this nature. It's not the role of a local government to simply take action unilaterally that is in violation of the law. There is a process that could be gone through where you apply and you go through that under the law. If it is something that needs to be changed, change it. But let's follow the law until we change the law, and then we'll follow the changed law.
Representative, we got to leave it there. You're very gracious with your time today, but we'll talk again real soon. This is a very good segment.
Well, I look forward to that. I wish the best Thanksgiving to all your listeners and everyone in our state. I mean, honestly, let's lift up our praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank Him for everything that we've been blessed with. We're blessed with the opportunity to have a chance to talk about elections, blessed with the opportunity to talk about our state's economy, and it's doing very well in terms of our general fund and our education fund with the resources we've received. The Republican Party did a great job from 2010 forward getting things in the right place financially to weather this storm. I thank you, Jeff. I wish you and your family the best. I pray God's blessing for everyone in your viewer audience and all the people of our state.
All right. So well said, Representative Arnold Mooney here on the program. Big news about Nick Saban coming up on the other side. You want to stick around for that Iron Bowl this weekend, obviously. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5.